It's just gone 10:33, and on the line from Israel, we have Ilan Eviatar, who is an Iran expert and Middle East correspondent. Ilan, thank you so much for chatting with us. Part of me doesn't really know where to begin, but perhaps we should start with the amazing pride I was just talking with our correspondent about, that the Israelis were able to create a drone base within Iranian territory, and that this must have been years in the making. What is your take on that?
Yeah, well, the whole operation has been years in the making. Israel was first reported to planned a strike against Iran back in 2010, 11, 12. So the operation has been in the planning in various modes for many, many years. Obviously, there have been technological changes and upgrades in that time. Israel has new has the F-35 aircraft, which has had a major impact on extending the range and Israel's capabilities, and the Mossad operation was obviously many years in the making as well. We've seen elsewhere in the world, we've seen the Ukraine v. Russia, what a deadly impact drones can have, and I think this shows Israel's technological superiority. The Iranians have tried to send hundreds of drones in total to Israel in this round of conflict, and in the previous rounds in April and October 2024, with little success. So yeah, I mean, absolutely, this is an amazing operation, but it's only the opening blow, and we'll have to see, you know, how things develop, and if Israel is able to completely destroy Iran's nuclear program, or to set it back by many years.
Ilan, what is the role of the United States? Are they involved? Because there's been a huge ruse. You had Netanyahu talking about going on a holiday just before all of this happened and his son's wedding. And then you had Javier Milei, who is the Argentinian president, only leaving Israel Thursday night. And you had the American President Trump talking about this meeting that was scheduled for today between Iran and the United States, and Witkoff also saying that he's looking forward to this meeting, and Trump saying Israel mustn't attack while the talks are ongoing. Do you think Trump was in on it from the beginning?
That's very difficult to say. I think, you know, Trump had an idea that if there was no progress in the talks, then Israel would attack. Trump himself noted that the attack took place exactly 60 days after the start of talks, and he had given Iran a 60-day deadline. So. You know, the U.S. isn't involved militarily at this stage, apart from missile defense on Israeli soil.
One of the big topics of discussion, of course, at the moment is what is going to happen with the Fordo site. And there is speculation that the U.S. would consider striking the Fordo site and assisting the Israelis if that became necessary. Can you just give a sense?
Hello?
Hi. The Fordo site. Can you give us a sense of why it is so difficult and whether it is impossible to do it from the skies, and either Israel's going to need American help, or Israel's going to have to send in ground troops, or at least some troops?
Fordo is buried very deep underground inside a mountain, I think over 80 meters. So it's going to be very difficult to destroy in the way that the US could with its 30,000-pound bunker bombs, which are infinitely larger than anything that Israel has. I don't know, you know, what Israel has up its sleeve. But what Israel does have at the moment is complete control of the skies, so it can use much heavier munitions than it has been up till now. Most of the attacks until yesterday, most of the strikes until yesterday were conducted with standoff fire. Now they can drop munitions from overhead, and when you have a complete control of the skies, then there are other options available to you without getting too much into what those may be.
The IDF has called on the public not to publish locations where the Iranian missiles are falling, saying that the enemy monitors the footage to improve its attack capabilities. But does Iran have or not have precise missile guidance capability?
It doesn't have the kind of precision missiles that Israel does, but we can assume that they were targeting certain locations within Tel Aviv, and that, as we saw, missiles fell within that vicinity. But I mean, what the Iranians are doing is basically just lobbing dozens of missiles into densely populated areas. So far they've fired I think between 250 to 300 missiles, and they haven't hit any military targets. Their previous attack in October saw them fire 300 missiles and come close or in the vicinity of various air force bases, but they don't possess the kind of precision that Israel does.
France and Britain have been scrambling fighters in defense of Israel. On the surface, France and Britain seem to be anti-Israel in terms of military operations. Do you think the reports we're receiving that they're scrambling fighters means that behind the scenes they've either been bullied by Trump, or there's been a NATO decision, or what do you think is going on?
Well, I'm not aware of them having actually taken part in any operations to shoot down missiles. What the UK has said is that it will be moving assets closer to the Middle East, and France has said it will take part in Israel's defense if necessary. So I think there's a very clear differentiation. I wouldn't call them anti-Israel, but I would say they make a very clear distinction between the situation in Gaza, especially the humanitarian situation there now, and the situation in Iran. They have voiced themselves very strongly against the Iranian nuclear program. They have expressed Israel's right to self-defense. So, on that issue, I think they're firmly behind Israel.
Ilan, there are obviously reports that you've seen as well of attacks in Yemen. And I saw a report that Israel had killed the Houthi military chief of staff, Mohammed al-Ghamari, and that Yemen has fired at Israel. What are the, in your opinion, what are the possibilities of Iran activating its proxies like Hezbollah, Hamas to whatever extent it can, Yemen to whatever, well, we've seen Yemen already, but is that a concern for Israel?
Well, I think, one of the things that made this strike possible was that Israel had weakened and decapitated Iran's proxies. Hamas has no capabilities to speak of at present. Hezbollah has been so severely weakened that it actually put out a statement that it won't get involved on behalf of Iran. And the Houthis, obviously, they've been firing at Israel constantly. And in fact, yesterday they conducted what they called a joint operation with Iran, which is basically the first time they've sort of admitted to the connection between them and done anything officially together. Other than the Houthis, there is no real threat at the moment from any Iranian proxies. And there's also the Iraqi militias who aren't taking part at all. So, I mean, Israel was able to conduct this strike because it had taken out Hamas, it had taken out Hezbollah, the regime in Damascus has fallen, and Iran has no presence there. Iraq is not taking part. So basically, Israel has a corridor all the way through to Iran, and it has now extended that corridor by completely taking out Iran's air defenses.
Is Yemen a concern, or whatever they have is quite small in terms of military capability?
What they have, I think we've seen so far, is quite small. I mean, Yemen hasn't been able to fire multiple rockets at Israel. You know, it's basically been one or two at a time at the most, and most of them have been intercepted.
Ilan, there was a warning that Israel issued just before Friday morning, sometime on Thursday. It was an unprecedented warning to three Arab countries, Iraq, Lebanon, and Syria, regarding potential involvement in a regional conflict on Iran's side in the event of escalation. And the message said that even the smallest intervention on your part will trigger a disproportionate Israeli response directed at your country. Do you think we could see anything from Iraq, Lebanon, or Syria? And do you think there is the risk that this could lead to a regional conflict involving whomever?
And I think, you know, Lebanon realizes that it has to keep Hezbollah under control. Hezbollah realizes that it really doesn't have the strength to do anything. In Syria, the new regime is anti-Iran, so you know there is the possibility that Hamas or any other group present there might try to fire some short-range missiles at Israel, but that's not a major threat. And as we've seen, you know, Iraq, the militias in Iraq aren't participating.
Ilan Eviatar, Iran expert and Middle East correspondent. We so appreciate you talking to us. You're also the author of Target Tehran. We'll certainly keep in touch with you, and you stay safe. And thank you. Thank you for bringing us up to date on what's happening and your thoughts and analysis.